Jesus. So how y'all doing tonight after your Chargers got their booties whooped by the Raiders? All the Raider fans in the house, say hey. Now all the Raider fans, you need to get out. Congratulations. The Raiders, you guys whooped us today, no doubt. You whooped us, and you whooped us twice this year. You're welcome. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Two things I would like to say before we start. Number one, how many of you have never been to a prison, whether locked up or visiting? You've never been to a prison. I can't encourage you enough. Sign up for the prison ministry. Go get August's book. Go in prison. It will change your life. You will learn to appreciate what you have. If you have the privilege of being able to go to Donovan, you may be able to get to go into a room, a gymnasium with 150 guys sleeping two and three bunks at the top of each other, and that is their bedroom. It is horrible. It is gross. It is 100% over capacity. 200. I think it's built for 2,000 men. It has 4,000 something. You need to go. I've been in countless prisons, countless countries, and it is the best experience. It will rock your world, and you need it. And you will come home to your room and the room, the house that you've been complaining about, and say, thank you, Jesus, for my one bedroom, little mattress on the floor, because we've all been there. Amen? With the curtains on the window. The other thing, 2 weeks ago, I was talking about a horse named Zenyatta. Does anybody remember that? Yeah. Okay. Has anybody looked at her races online and just fallen in love with that horse? Not really. Okay. How many of you do not know who Zenyatta is, if you weren't here at that time? Okay, Zenyatta's a horse that was 19-0, and she was going to retire on the 20th race, and the 20th race was the Breeders' Cup about a month ago, and every one of her 19 wins, she came from last place. She would, just her personality, she would just hang in the back, and then at the very end, she'd come and take everybody's heart out, and she did that 19 times in a row, and so her last race, she was going to retire. She was a Breeders' Cup about a month ago, and she was the only female horse in the race. It was 11 horses, and she was 150 feet off the lead, which is a lot, just hanging in the back, and she fought all the way back, and she lost by this much. It was heartbreaking. So anyway, I get this. You can watch the sermon from 2 weeks ago because it had an illustration about us just pressing forward whether we win in man's eyes or not. But during the sermon, I mentioned that I would love to meet her and, you know, go meet her and kind of have a little bond time and talk to her a little bit. And someone that week gave me the phone number to her trainer, and she's up in L.A. So I went to see her in L.A. and got to meet her. And so I'm going to show you a short video. It's a couple minutes long. So I told my wife, you know, I was telling my wife all week long, I'm going to see my girlfriend, Zenyatta. I know you're jealous because you're not coming. I invited her, but she didn't want to come. And my wife said, you could have as many four-legged girlfriends as you want. So I figured I'd just get some girls to walk around like this, and I got some girlfriends. So anyway, here's my horse. And by the way, she gives me a kiss, and you'll see it was unsolicited. She just kind of bum-rushed me real quick. And you'll see. I'm just telling you what happened. Just watch the video. Make the judgment for yourself. This is my girl, Zenyatta.
A lot of people love you. We have a lot of people root for you. Say hi to the Rock Church.
Amen.
Say hi to my people. You're so beautiful. You did a great job. We're rooting for you. You did a great job.
Leonard, you did a great job.
Go give me a kiss. Give me a kiss. Go give me a kiss, girl. Give me another kiss. Give me another kiss. Give me a kiss.
No, she's playing hard to get.
You gonna give me a kiss? Give me a kiss. We root for you. A lot of people root for you.
Yeah.
We were Zenyatta, the horse of the century. We love her. She's so beautiful. And you want to say anything to the people? No.
Adios.
So you did a great job. We had a lot of people rooting for you. You did a great job. So you're going to make some babies and be keeping track of you and watching you for a long time.
She's not even looking at me. She don't want to hit me.
The last thing that didn't turn out so great.
Good deal. Thank you very much.
Great
Miles,
thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
She was so soft, like velvet. I mean, they groomed that horse. We were standing in the stables, and the stables, just imagine rectangle aisleways, and she would walk in this big rectangle, And there were about 30 people there. They come every day to see her. And she has her own street in Hollywood Park called Zenyatta Way. And they take pictures with her, and she has fans, and she had a going away party, I think, today. But she would walk, and when she would come, she'd walk this big square, and when she would come in front of us, she would pose. She would just look at us. And then she'd walk around, go around and come back, and then she would. So anyway, she's going to go to Kentucky tomorrow to live for 20 years or so. She'll live about 20 more years. She's leaving tomorrow. She's going to have babies. They expect maybe 8 babies, and they hope one of them can run like her. So that's my Zenyatta moment. If you follow me on Twitter, I tweet about all this stuff all the time. So if you don't follow me on Twitter, follow me on Twitter, and we'll let you know when this kind of stuff happens. And then we usually sent out the video a couple weeks ago, so you got it. Okay, let's see your Bible. Say word. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Lord, I just pray everybody can find it. It's the last book of the Bible. And I pray for those people who didn't bring Bibles that they would bring them next time, especially those who've been here before. And pray you bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. My wife and I went to see this movie called Inception. It's kind of a mind-blowing kind of movie. And in the movie Inception, Leonardo DiCaprio is the main guy. He has this ability to go into people's dreams and manipulate their thoughts, either get information out of their mind or put information in. And in this movie, he puts people to sleep, then he goes to sleep, or his team, and they go into people's dreams, and they interact with people in the dream. And then sometimes they go into the dream, and then they have another dream and go into another dream. So you really never know if it's a dream, a second dream, or a third dream, or reality, and people get killed, and they come out. It was like, anybody see that movie? Did anybody come out of that movie going, My wife was like, I had no idea what was going on. So when you watch movies like that, I love movies, I'll probably not watch it again just because I'm talking about it, but when you watch movies like that, you may get confused, but if you know that there are certain components in every movie, certain components in every single movie, and if you understand those components, whether you get lost here and there, you could always find your way back to find out what's going on. And in every movie, there's always a hero, some person, a guy or a girl, and they desire to get something or accomplish something. And the whole movie is the story of them trying to accomplish what they're trying to accomplish, overcoming obstacles, dealing with deceitful people, friends who now they're enemies, enemies who are now their friends, disappointments. They are trying to accomplish something based on their values and their heart, their character. And you, as you watch the movie, you learn about what they're willing to give up to accomplish what they're trying to accomplish, what they're willing to learn or what they do learn in the process. And that's the story, and that's the roller coaster it takes you through, is their journey to try to get something. In this particular movie, Leonardo DiCaprio was separated from his family, and he was going to retire from his job of going into people's dreams. And they said, we're going to give you this impossible task of, you know, planting a thought in a guy's mind for some business deal. And if you do that, we'll let you be with your family again. So that was his goal. He wanted to accomplish and achieve inception so he can get back with his kids. Whenever you read apocalyptic language, the book of Revelation, there's all these images. You know, last week we talked about locusts with women's hair, lion teeth, men's faces, horses' bodies, and scorpion tails. You read that and go, what is that? And you may never know, we may never know what that is until we see it, right? And there's other things in Revelation that you may never know in all the apocalyptic language in the Bible. But one thing you should know for sure is that there is a Savior that comes back to redeem his people and to judge unrighteousness and to condemn the devil and his followers. The whole book of Revelation is the revealing of Jesus Christ and when he comes back to set the record straight. So if you get lost in all the details, I don't know what this is about. The one thing you can know is that this is the final battle between Satan and God. And God wins. Everyone say God wins. So as you're reading the story, there's a few things you want to ask yourself. Even though you may not know every little thing, one thing you want to ask yourself is to follow the reading rules that we've given you. And the reading rules are such, and we're going to read them in a minute. But basically, you want to know what are you reading about? What is the picture or the images that you read? You may not know what they mean, but you may say, well, it's a scorpion with a horse body and lion teeth. That's what the Bible says. And it's a four-headed creature, okay? And it's doing this. So what do you see in your own language? And then are they fighting on behalf of God or are they fighting on behalf of Satan? And that's kind of the high point. And in the end, Christ is going to come and give out his judgment to all the people who don't like him, and all the people, I shouldn't say don't like him, who don't follow him, who reject him. And in the end, the devil and all his followers are going to go to hell, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. That's kind of the big picture. And so even though you may get lost here and there, just know that God is delivering judgment on unrighteousness. That's what the big picture is. So we're going to look at three chapters, one today, one next week, and the week after. And we're just going to use these same rules to these chapters, and hopefully it'll help you understand it a little better. Matter of fact, look in your notes first. Let's read some of these rules real quick, high level. Number one, the first rule is to read the book or the chapter 2 to 3 times and look for the story of God's judgment on evil and the restoration of good. And so you always want to read the Bible, especially when you read a chapter or a book. Read it over and over and over again and just take notes. God will reveal things to you. You'll be amazed. You may say, I don't understand the Bible. Well, it may be because you don't read it enough. But I would challenge you to read it and read it and read it. And just because you don't understand some of it doesn't mean you shouldn't keep reading it, because some of it simply is just not understandable. Why and how God does stuff, because it's above our head. But a lot of it, you can piece it all together. You can piece it all together. So you want to read it. The next rule, it says, who is the vision being given to and on whose behalf is it being given? Book of Revelation, we're going to see it was given to a guy named John on behalf of 7 churches. In Daniel, God gave a vision to Daniel on behalf of the Jews that were in exile. So you always want to know who's being receiving the vision and who are the people who are being oppressed that the vision was given for. We talked last week, apocalyptic language, end time language, was given to encourage people that were being oppressed. God was encouraging them to say, in the end, I win. So just be encouraged that when this is all said and done, no matter how hard your life is now, I'm going to make everything right in the end. And number three, it says, the next one, it says, determine whether the images or characters are acting on behalf of God or Satan. We talked about that, and we'll see that in a minute. Describe in your own words, without making comparisons to contemporary events or objects, what the images are doing. You may hear, well, you know, 666, it must be President Obama and all this stuff. Don't get into all that because you don't know. Those locusts must be helicopters, and those are nuclear bombs. No one knows that. It's all a guess. It's all a guess. The mark of the beast is a chip in your hand. Maybe, maybe not. So what you just want to do is say, this is what the Bible says. And understand that first, and saying these creatures are acting on behalf of God, or these creatures are acting on behalf of the devil. And then you start from there before you jump to what you think it means. And number five, it says, how does the passage or scene fit in the overall story of God's eternal judgment? In other words, how does the devil going into the lake of fire fit in God's plan of redemption? It's judgment. You know, it's judgment. And so how does Jesus coming back fit in God's overall plan? We're going to talk about that today. Okay, so let's read. Let's read chapter 1, verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. So God is going to send a message to John via an angel to reveal Jesus Christ. Everyone say revelation. Whenever you say the book of Revelation, you always want to say the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ, because the book of Revelation is a revealing of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about, him and his actions. And then it says in verse 3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Verse 4, John to the 7 churches which are in Asia. Look at the first answer in your notes. Who is the vision being given to? The vision is being given to John on behalf of 7 churches. So again, the book of Revelation is not this mystical dream that someone had. John is receiving a vision. He's receiving a message from God the Father. God the Father sent it to him through an angel on the behalf of the seven churches. It's a very real deal. Verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn, not the secondborn, the firstborn from the dead. Firstborn is a status. It's not that he had more than one people born. It was that he had firstborn status. Firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's Jesus. Everyone say, Jesus. And he made us kings and priests to God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming. Watch this. This is God telling John this. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. Those who pierced him are those who nailed him and those who were saying, let his sin, his blood be on our own head. Which, by the way, could be some of you. I don't like Jesus. Yeah, I don't like the church. The church is Jesus. That's you. You pierced him. Okay? Look what it says. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. You will go, oh boy, it's really him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and is to come, the Almighty God. Now, it says every, what does it say in verse 7? Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. If you ever read the Inquirer magazine, Jesus is seen in Yuma walking in the desert. Has anybody ever seen that? You never seen that? On the cover of Inquirer, he's just an old scrawny looking guy, looks like he's from PB, and he's walking around with a beard. You know what I'm talking about. Every Jesus film got the same guy, right? He's got green eyes, okay? And he's from Pacific Beach or OB, got a beard, a little long hair, and he walks around, oh, blessed be the meek, and, you know, come on. We'll get to that in a minute. The thing is that when he comes, body. Everybody say body. That's short for everybody. Everybody's going to see him. It's not going to be you're not going to hear it on CNN. It is not on be on CNN. You will see it. And he will make sure you know it when it happens. You know what the Bible says? Every knee will bow and every tongue confess. We'll get to that in a minute. But everybody's going to see him. So the number one feeling, the vision is from God. The next answer is Jesus is acting on behalf of the Father. Okay, what does that mean? Is that what we're going to read about and what God is telling us about is that my son is coming back. Now, if you remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. For God so loved the world, he sent an only begotten son. How many sons did he have? Now, I have mentioned many times how I like numbers, and some people think, you know, counting and measuring in ministry is not spiritual. God uses a number, on average, more than once in every chapter in the Bible. And he uses numbers to measure stuff, more than once. In this first chapter of Revelation, he uses a number 17 times. He is a numbers freak. He is. Measures everything. And he says, I'm only giving my one son. He sent his one son to die. That's the first time he came. Blessed be the meek. And, you know, for God so loved the world, if you trust in me, I give you eternal life. And, you know, he walked around kind of blessing people. Bomb, boom, bomb, boom, bomb, walking on water, kind of real. And next time he comes back, ain't going to be like that. He's not coming back to negotiate, make friends, bless people. He's coming back to judge. He has been given judgment, the authority to judge. You're going to see in a minute, he has the authority over hell and death. And so the reason this book is important is not only for people who do believe to know that in the end God wins, but for people who don't believe yet because we want you to believe. We don't want you to be deceived. This is not a religion thing. It's a relationship thing. You can't just slide in because you're a good person. Because the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. None. N-U-N. None. None. Okay? Look what it says. Verse 9. I, John, your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was on the island called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Christ. John was exiled to an island because he was preaching the gospel. Listen to this now. Listen to this. How many of you all have been persecuted because you're a Christian in any way? Persecuted in any way. Raise your hand real high. Okay, how many of you have not been? Okay, can't wait till you get persecuted. You're going to be like, dang. You probably were and you didn't even know it. People talk about you behind your back, making fun of you, blah, 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 blah. John was persecuted and he was exiled to an island to get him out of the mix. They tried to kill him by putting him in a vat of oil and still didn't kill him. Boiling oil, still didn't kill him. He gets excommunicated, puts on this island. There's no phone, remember. There's no email. He's behind him. He's gone. And you know what God says? Exactly where I wanted you. Now I can give you the book of Revelation. Ha! They thought they would got him. He was reading his letter. He was reading the most important book of the Bible. And that's where he got it when he was being persecuted. And look what it says. I was in the Spirit on the day of the Lord, the Lord's day, Sunday. And I heard behind me a loud voice as a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, to Laodicea. Okay, this voice says to him, I am the Alpha, the Omega. Well, didn't we just hear that from the Father? Yes, now here's Jesus talking. They're the same. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all God. They're all eternal. And Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. In other words, before the first man, I was first. And after the last man, I'm last. I had no beginning and no end. And it says, what you see, write in a book, and I want you to send it to these churches. Verse 12. Then I turned, John turned to see what the voice spoke, to see the voice that spoke to me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. How many lampstands? And what were they made of? Okay. Golden lampstands means they were made of gold. Okay, so what were they made of? How many were there? Seven golden what? Okay, this is not a trick question. There's only three words we're talking about here. It's seven golden lampstands, okay? Just trying to just make sure you're engaged. Are we all tracking together? Okay, look at the person next to you and say, are you ready? Okay, very good. Look at the person next to you and say, are you ready? Some of you are not doing it. That's okay. It's Sunday. Probably the Raider fans. Those are the ones not doing it. What's up, brother? What's up? It says, in the midst of the seven lampstands. How many lampstands? In the midst of the lampstand was one like the Son of Man. How many like the Son of Man? There's only one Son. Okay, one Son, clothed with a garment down to his feet, girded about his chest with a gold band. His head and hair were white like wool, white as snow. His eyes were flame like a flame of fire. His feet were like brass as refined in a furnace. His voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in scrumph. Woo! Scrumph. Strength plus is scrumph. So he sees this image of a person. And he says it's like the Son of Man. He's clothed with a garment down to his feet. He has a gold band around his chest. His hair and his head were white like wool. White as snow. Is that an afro? I don't know. It's just wool. People try to get into, oh, that means it. Just read it. Just try not to get too far with it. It's white like snow. By the way, it probably meant the symbolism of the white hair is his ancientness, his eternity. His eyes were like flame of fire. He saw everything burn right through you like fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. His voice was like many waters. I have no idea what that sounds like. In his right hand, he had seven stars. Out of his mouth went a two-edged sword. The Bible said the word of God is a two-edged sword. His countenance was like the sun. Basically, this is a magnificent, glorious Savior. Look in your notes. Describe in your own words, what do we see? A powerful and glorious Savior standing in the midst of his churches. We're going to see in a minute the seven golden lampstands are the seven churches. And here's a powerful, eternal God standing amidst his church. Now, understand this. The church is not the building. The church is the people. This physical building is not the Rock Church. The Rock Church are the people. This building is where the Rock Church meets on Sunday. Well, one of the places we meet on Sunday. But the church is the people. And here he's saying, I am standing amidst you, right among you. I'm not over there. I'm not behind you. I'm not over there. I'm right with you. I'm right with you. And look what it says next. Verse 17. He says, when I saw it, this is John speaking, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as one dead. So when he saw it, he went like this. Oh, no. He went down like that. If you see God, you're not going to be like, hey, what's up, God? Or, yo, man, how can you hook me up with that job? Well, you never gave me a wife. You ain't going to be doing none of that. The Bible says that one day every knee will bow. That's this knee and this knee. Like that. Right. Just both knees. And every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. That's going to happen. So here John sees this unbelievable image of Jesus, okay, in the heavenlies, representative of all his majesty, is what he's seeing. Okay, he didn't, you know, when you see Jesus, when you go to heaven, he's not going to have a sword coming out of his mouth. But his word is like a two-edged sword, because his word is the word of God. And look what it says in verse 17. He says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his hand on me and said, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Every single one of our lives is a story. We have good times, we have bad times. We have confusing times, we have bewildering times. We have oppression, we have depressing, discouraging times. Fun times, bad times. All of us. There's nobody in this room, and it's my opinion, but I think my opinion is correct, that we've all had ups and downs. Can I get amen? Amen? We've all had times we just want to say, God, just take me home today, which is a Christian way of saying, I want to kill myself. Can I get amen? And you just get tired. You just get tired. And you're up and down all around. Da, 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 and God is with you the whole time. And he's telling you, don't be afraid. Don't worry about it. In the end, we're all going to die. That is a fact of life. And so we shouldn't strive to try to live here forever. Because we're not. We should make the best of the days we have. But he tells John, don't worry. And I want to tell you, don't worry about it. If Christ is on, if you are on his side, and he's for you, no one can be against you. You will have ups and downs. But this book and the importance of the book of Revelation in apocalyptic language is to assure you, reassure you, that when you're up or down or whatever, that in the end, he wins. In the end, he's coming back. Look what he says. He says, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. When everything's said and done, I will be here. I am he who lives, who was dead, and behold, I live forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys or the authority of Hades and death. Write these things that you have seen, the things which are, the things which will take place after this, John. Write these down. And the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the seven angels of the churches. And the seven lampstands are the seven churches. John, tell people that even though they're going through all kinds of drama. By the way, each one of these seven churches represent, some believe, seven different kinds of Christians, even though they were real churches. But some are thriving, some are lukewarm, some are disobedient. He says, I'm amidst them still. I'm still standing with them. And I'm right there. And what he's saying is that no matter where you're at, I want to be your Savior. And when I come back, I am going to judge those who reject me. And I'm going to redeem those who trust me. Not because of their money, not because of their degrees, not because of their looks, because of their faith in me only. That's it. Now, their faith in me will be proven by their works, but it's all based on faith. Faith. Have you trusted your life with Christ, or are you playing your version of Christianity? God's going to come back, and he said, the goats from the sheep. He's going to say, all the sheep, these are the people who believe in me, and all the goats, here are the people who were playing or just flat out rejected me. And by the way, there are going to be some people who say, Lord, I did this in your name, I did this in your name, I did this in your name. And he's going to say, read it in Matthew 7, 21, I never knew you. Oh, I don't want to be that guy. And as you're going through all this ups and downs, you have to understand, God is there. Recently, I was going through something, just going through a hard time. And I was playing golf, and I was on the green, finally. After like 5 hours, we got to the green. That was a golf joke, but y'all missed it. That's okay. And I was thinking about all this stuff I was going through, and the peace of God just overtook me like a flood, and he made me happy that he had picked me to go through what I was going through. He says, I picked you for that. And I was happy. I was so happy, I started to almost cry, and I had to turn my back to the guys I was playing golf with, and I looked up to the sky, to the mountains, because there was mountains out there, and I was praying out loud to God, saying, thank you so much that you put me in this position to be the target of all that stuff. And I was like, what am I saying? But it was so, I said, you know, I just forgot. I was like, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so, this is so exciting. This is so exciting. This is what I'm talking about, something bad. How many of you know you learn more from your bad, hard times than your good times? Thank you. But when we're, and keep your hand up because I'm asking another question. It's going to be a yes answer. But when it's happening, you don't want it to happen, right? And then when it's over, you're like, oh, man, that was pretty good, huh? I learned from that. But when it's happening, like, oh, God, why is it happening to me? Why did you pick me? Why did you pick me? Okay. And God says, no, no, no. If you can go into the trial knowing this, if you can go into your hard times knowing this, does it mean if you trust God that you're going to get healed of your disease? No, you might die. You might die a horrible death. There's people right now all around this world who are getting mutilated, raped, and killed simply because they believe Jesus. If you're one of those people that says the church won't go through the tribulation, it's already happening. Where you been? We're spoiled here living in California, in San Diego. The persecution we get is legal and political, and people come after you in the media and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, eventually I think it'll go to jail, but that's another story. But we got it easy compared to other places around the world. But if you know in the end that Christ wins, that Christ is going to say, I'm going to make it right, and this is what the whole book's about. I'm going to make it right. I'm going to make it right. So fight, be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove, but just live life knowing that you win. Now, if you're not a Christian, we don't want you to lose. We don't want you to reject Christ. We don't want you to have to experience the wrath of God, because just as much God is a God of love, he's a God of wrath. Just like any parent. Parents have to discipline their kids. If you don't discipline your kids, the Bible says you hate your kids. So my encouragement to you is as you think about a parent, so that God is going to do to you. God's going to discipline you. But God doesn't want, we don't want you to receive the eternal discipline of God, which is hell. The Bible says, you read the book of Revelation at the very end, chapter 20, the devil gets cast into the lake of fire where he suffers forever. And everybody who believes him or rejects Christ as a savior goes with him. We don't want that for you. Even our worst enemies, we don't want that from you. When I say worst enemies, you can hate the church, hate us and all kinds of stuff. We don't want that for you. It's too bad. It's too horrible. The Bible says it's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so what we want to encourage you is to understand in the end Jesus wins. So now bow your knee down. Matter of fact, look at your notes. Look at your notes. How does this passage fit into the overall scene of God's judgment? One, Jesus will be sent to the world to judge the world. That's one of his roles. He came to die for our sin. Now he's going to come back to judge the sinner. But lastly, the last thing in your notes, it says, since in the end Jesus wins, bow your knee to him today. Since in the end, if you knew who was going to win the Super Bowl, would you bet on the loser? I mean, anybody? No, you bet on the winner. Jesus is going to win. He's going to win.
Well, that's what the Bible says. Well, how can you be sure? What if the Bible's wrong?
I give you one little hint. Go to Jerusalem and go to his grave and see if you could find him. He ain't there. And if somebody tells me I'm going to die and rise from dead 3 days later, and he does, I'm going to bet on that guy. And if I'm trusting my life into his hands, I'm a bet on that guy because that guy already conquered death. I'm not praying to anybody else. I'm only praying to that guy who died and rose from the dead. That's how. Every day, you rehearse life, death, heaven, and hell. Every day. When you're awake, like you are now, hopefully all y'all are awake, you're alive. When you go to sleep, you die. And when you go to sleep, you go to a place where it's like reality but different, called a dream. And either your dream is pleasant, heaven, or your dream is horrible, hell. And either in your dream you wake up happy or whatever, or you wake up terrified. And then you wake up. And when you wake up, it's like you resurrect from the dead and you're alive again. And you go around your day awake, then you go to sleep again, you die, and then you go back to this place where it's like reality but different, heaven or hell. And every day you do that, every day. And one day, it's going to be over. And one day, you're not going to have any more chance. You're going to be in a place permanently. One of those places is heaven, and one of those places is hell. And God is reminding us every single day that that reality exists. What we want to give you an opportunity to do is say, Jesus, I believe, this is for you, I believe that you died and rose from the dead and that you are going to come back and send me to eternity somewhere. We want to make sure that that somewhere for you is heaven. Now, in a minute, we're going to pray. For all of you who claim that you're Christian, because some of you claim to be Christians, but you're not. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says it. You go through the motions, you pray the prayer, but you're not sold out to Christ. Let me encourage you. Sell out to him. Give him everything. Your complete devotion, number one. Number two, some of y'all in here know you never asked Christ to be your Savior. We want to encourage you today is to give your life to Jesus. He is coming back. No one knows the hour, the time, or the day, but he's coming. And when he comes, there's going to be no negotiating, no, oh, I'm sorry, none of that. It's going to be over. So let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful to give us this information now, to warn us that you are coming back, that you are a glorious, magnificent God. You see everything. Your word is like a two-edged sword. You are the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. We thank you that you have been patient enough to wait for us to surrender our lives to you. Patient enough to wait for us to repent, to acknowledge you as God, Savior, Lord. If you realize today that you need to give your life to Jesus, you need to surrender yourself to him, you need to ensure that he is your God, and that when he comes back, he will come back to deliver you, not to judge you. Pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe my sin is wrong. I believe it will kill me and send me to hell. And I believe that I need Jesus as my Savior. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Please come live in my heart and be my Lord and my God. I surrender my life to you once and for all. Thank you, God. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand. And by standing, you are acknowledging that you are surrendering your life to Jesus. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before man, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father.